Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, here we are in the first Tuesday of the month. And you know what we do on the first Tuesday of the month? We always talk about sports of one sort or another. And today is no exception. There are no real mountains in Wisconsin, but there are still plenty of places to go rock climbing. And to tell us about the sport, we have with us Doug Hemken, who is the access coordinator for the Wisconsin Climbers Association. Doug, welcome to the show.
Hey there.
Great to have you with us. Lauren Polstanis is our other guest. She's the lead instructor with Devil's Lake Climbing Guides. Lauren, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
As we talk with these two experts, I hope you'll join in. What would you like to know about rock climbing? Do you have a favorite? Maybe you've got a favorite indoor wall. Maybe you've got an experience to share about your favorite place to climb. You can join in the conversation by calling us. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Doug, let's start with you. What got you interested in rock climbing?
A film that I saw, actually. I started out fairly young. I'm not young anymore, but I started climbing when I was 15, started technical rock climbing. Before that, my parents had gotten me into camping and backpacking, and as a young Cub Scout, I remember seeing this film about Outward Bound. This would have been in the late 60s. And in that film, they had some amazing footage of climbers on a ridge above the clouds. Yeah. And that being above the clouds just totally captured my imagination. And more than 50 years later, I can still see it in my mind.
Oh, man.
And there was particularly an image of a climber on a knife edge ridge, climbing a cheval, which means he had one leg dangling down one side, one leg dangling down the other, and he was scooting along way up above the clouds.
You know, that would get me to want to run the other way, so I'm glad. Oh, my goodness. Well, Lauren, what about you? What got you interested?
Yeah, so I spent most of my life as a ballerina, so I've always been very, very active. And as I transitioned away from that sport, I really craved a new activity to channel all of that energy into. And my dad has always been very into the outdoors, mostly backpacking and hiking. And so as I transitioned out of ballet, I remember asking him to take me backpacking. And the first place he took me was to Yosemite National Park. As many people know, climbing is a big pursuit out there.
Yeah. Well, I bet being a ballerina probably helped you with climbing.
Yeah. I think it translates actually quite well. People are often surprised to find out that climbing is not as much about arm strength and pull-ups as it is about kind of balance and standing on your feet. So on a trip to Yosemite, I convinced my dad to be a rock climbing guide. And this guide took us up a huge, tall route, over 600 feet tall. And we really struggled and flailed our way up that route. It was a little difficult for us. And when we got to the top, my father said he would never do it again. And I said, I think I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Oh, those are both great stories. You know, you think about rock climbing, that really doesn't cover all the different types of climbing there is. Maybe give us the main types. Doug, do you want to do that?
Sure. I mean, here in Wisconsin, we have rock climbing and we have ice climbing. As you say, we don't really have the mountains or the glaciers. So a lot of us do a lot of traveling. And within rock climbing, we kind of divide that up into different types of rock, how big the objective is, different ways of protecting it, different ways of making it safe. So kind of the three main styles, if you will, are what used to just be called climbing. We now call that traditional climbing. Sport climbing is a little newer approach to safety. Mm-hmm. And it also puts a little bit different emphasis on the kinds of gymnastics you do. You tend to approach different kinds of problems that way. And then kind of the latest development in the rock climbing world is the popularity of bouldering, getting on much, much shorter things, but that can be extremely difficult to pull yourself up.
Yeah, I would think so. Alice in Sheboygan has something for us. Let's go there. Alice, hi.
Hi. Our family, my kids are all grown up, but one of the cheapest entertainment for our family was climbing all around Wisconsin, and it usually had to do with waterfalls.
Oh, which ones?
Wren Falls was one that we really loved up in the north, and Devil's Lake we liked. Any place we could find a fall.
Well, obviously you did that as a family that whole time. They're really interesting, and there are lots of places around the state. She mentioned Devil's Lake, and of course that's your home territory there, Lauren.
Yeah, Devil's Lake is my office, so to speak. And I spend most of my time getting to play outside while I'm at work, if you can even call it that. But it's a great place for families to get involved in climbing. In fact, most of the people I take rock climbing are beginners or families who are just, either on vacation or from Wisconsin looking to have an adventure together.
So what does it take? I mean, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, but how do you teach people to be rock? I mean, you see something, you want to climb up it, I guess, but there's got to be more to it than that.
Yeah, totally. So I think that sometimes there's this perception that, you have to have the fitness of an elite athlete to try rock climbing, especially with the rise of a lot of, popular climbing films that really showcase these, incredible physical feats. But you don't need to be, a superhero to try rock climbing. One of the main parts of rock climbing is just learning to embrace, the puzzle and struggle and even what we often perceive as failure to get up an objective. It's part of what's fun is you can learn to, experience fear and struggle and not succeed at what you're trying to do, where there's not a lot of pressure to do it, right? If we take you out climbing and you climb 20 feet of a 80-foot tall route, that's a success, right? If you've never climbed before, that's 20 feet of climbing you've done and you've puzzled through. And oftentimes even seasoned climbers will spend time, we call it projecting. So, working on a route over and over again until you have it all pieced together. So when we're teaching beginners, a lot of times fear comes into play for them. So we spend a while talking about how we mitigate the risks of climbing. And then we just talk to them a lot about, how to move your body. It's more intuitive than a lot of people think, right? We're all born climbers. Mm-hmm. And so reminding folks that, they have all these strong muscles in their legs and just reminding them to look around at all the options available. I think folks find that it doesn't take as much, instruction as they think.
Yeah, if you think of little kids, climbing up on the furniture or playing on the monkey bars at the playground or climbing into trees, I think there are a lot of us do have that instinct. I'd say not everybody. Some people really don't like the heights that much. But then Lauren also talks about this puzzle. Solving the puzzle is a big part of it for a lot of us. You're standing at the bottom of a cliff. It's not exactly a ladder. So you've got to figure out where you're going to put your hands, where you're going to put your feet. And even if it's not, you know, an overhanging and super strenuous, you still got to think about all of those individual moves and putting them together to move up through this steep terrain. And that kind of puzzling things out together is a real joy for a lot of us. We can spend hours talking about the moves on a 20-foot section of rock.
Well, you know, I'm wondering, Lauren, you mentioned films and movies have probably helped increase the interest in climbing. And as I look at some of those films, that would just scare the heck out of me, and I just would, you know, I would seem to do the opposite for me, but of course I'm older and maybe among younger. I mean, is the increase in interest among the very young, or, I mean, you know, 18, 20 year olds or younger?
I mean, I think that it strikes all sorts of people. I mean, I think climbing is probably most popular among folks, you know, in that 18 to 40 year old range. But climbing really is for everyone. I mean, I've taken folks out climbing who are in their 70s and beyond. And so it's kind of interesting to challenge that perception. I think that those films have really inspired people to seek out the beauty of climbing destinations and to seek out the thrill of it. But they do sort of put forth a little bit of an unrealistic expectation for what climbing can be like if you're not trying to, say, climb a 3,000-foot wall with no rope.
That would not be me, for sure. Talking with Doug Hamkin and Lauren Polkstenis, excuse me, I'm pronouncing your name, Lauren Polkstenis. Lauren's the lead instructor with Devil's Lake Climbing Guides, and Doug Hamkin is the access coordinator for the Wisconsin Climbers Association. Questions for them, give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau is our producer today, Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Talking about rock climbing with our two guests today on the program, Lauren Polkstenis, who is the lead instructor with Devil's Lake Climbing Guides, and Doug Hamkin, access coordinator for the Wisconsin Climbers Association. Questions for them, or maybe some experiences to share. I'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org. And let's take another call. Dan in River Falls, we'll go to you now. Hi, Dan.
Hi, guys. This is Dan Wall. And if I could, with all due respect to your young climbers, and I'm sure they're great climbers, I'm 73, and I was one of the generations of what I call the first climbers at Devil's Lake. And I'd just like a shout out to the people that really in Wisconsin. There's an impression, I think, that Wisconsin's are small crags. You know, I've climbed El Cap a couple of times, Half Dome, Steck South. They most of the big walls in Yosemite. And if you went back to pioneers like John Gill from out of state, they were followed by local climbers. Pete Cleveland, who still lives up there in Baraboo, who's done climbs in South Dakota that have never been repeated. My brother-in-law, Dave Erickson, and his brother, Jim, who in the 70s was probably the best free climber in America, I think, anyhow, Roger Wiegand, and the guy I climbed El Cap with, Al Chekowinski. So I hope your guests would just touch on the beginnings of climbing in Devil's Lake and really what great climbers have come out of Devil's Lake. So
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks, Dan, for calling. Appreciate it. Probably Doug and Lauren can add to this. I'm sure Doug has spent plenty of time there. But Lauren, since you're the lead instructor, we'll start with you. Have you got some history and talk about some of the? You were nodding your head when as Dan was talking about various climbers. You were recognizing names there.
Yeah. Devil's Lake has a really rich climbing history. I think that throughout the country, you know, Devil's Lake may be underappreciated for the early bold ascents that happened, climbing was, coming of age in places like Yosemite National Park. There were climbers at Devil's Lake State Park doing climbs that were as bold or bolder really, really setting the stage for the rest of us. To this day, Devil's Lake has a reputation for, very difficult climbing relative to other places, very technical climbing. All of that is thanks to those folks that came before us. Doug has a great background at Devil's Lake and has much more history there than I do. So I'm going to pass it to him for
okay.
details.
Doug, go ahead.
Sure. Sounds like I'm about the same age as Dan. It sounds like he might have climbed with the UW Hoofers quite a bit, because quite a few of the people he was talking about who were climbers in the 60s and 70s were associated with the University Climbing Club here. John Gill would have come earlier than that. Pete Cleveland still actually climbs with the Chicago Mountaineering Club. He's in his 80s, and his abilities have diminished to the point where he only climbs 5'11 these days. He is still a legend, still around. Dave Erickson is still around and climbing. Climbing at Devil's Lake, so climbing in Wisconsin, really got its start in the 1920s. We've had technical climbing here for almost 100 years now, and that actually makes climbing in Wisconsin one of the oldest places in the U.S. where we've had technical climbing. Kind of surprising, but there were a couple of guys from Chicago, the Stettner brothers, who came up and found the beautiful quartzite at Devil's Lake, which is, as Lauren says, very, very technical, very, very devious to try and look at the rock and figure out what it is you need to do to get up it.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I have a good friend of mine, Buzz Kemper, does, I think, I don't know if you would know him or not, Lauren, but anyway, he spends a lot of time climbing, and I usually post some great photos of his climbs at Devil's Lake and other places as well. Dan, I thank you so much. I want to go to another Dan, this one in Milwaukee. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, hi there. Thank you for the great topic, Larry, Doug, and Lauren. I'm 46 years old and newish to climbing, so it's not an age for old folk only. But I got into it because my kids were indoor climbers and they're competitive rock climbers. They went to a birthday party and started climbing over and over again at an indoor gym. And just recently, after a couple of years of climbing, I took my son out to his first outdoor climb at Devil's Lake just 2 weeks ago and absolutely loved it. And so I'd be interested to know how much of the sport is growing from, say, indoor gyms having people sparking their interest in outdoor climbing.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, so a lot of the folks that we're taking out lately are people who, got into climbing the same way your kids did, Dan, or the same way that you did, having exposure through a climbing gym. Climbing gyms are popping up just about everywhere these days. And they're a really great way to kind of have a low commitment introduction into the sport. But just like you, many people find that, once they get bit by the climbing bug, they want to go try it on real rock and see what it's like. And it's really cool to notice the differences, right? In the gym, the holds are all marked, the routes are laid out for you, and outdoors, there's much more freedom to sort of find your own path. So we're seeing a lot of new climbers outdoors, which is really exciting to see our sport growing. And as those folks make their way outdoors, you know, I think it's really important to me and probably to Doug as well to make sure that those folks have the resources and the education to get into it safely and to have the tools to know how to protect our environment and respect the places that we're climbing in. So we're really excited to see all these new folks in climbing, and we definitely want to do our best to help usher them into the community as warmly as we can.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it very much. John in Madison, we'll go to you. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Great topic today. Thanks for doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't do as much climbing as I do rappelling. I enjoy rappelling just for the enjoyment of it by itself, but I also practice rappelling for canyoneering and cave entry that I do. One of my questions is, Gibraltar Rock State Natural Area looks like a great place to go rappelling, but my understanding is it's off limits to climbing. And I'd like to confirm that. And if it is off limits, I'd like to know why. Thank you.
All right. Doug, any idea on that?
Sure. So Gibraltar Rock is a state natural area. Climbing is currently prohibited in most state natural areas. And as the access coordinator with the Wisconsin Climbers Association, that's one of the things that we're currently in discussions with the DNR about, is kind of where climbing should be allowed and where it shouldn't be allowed. Gibraltar Rock does actually have quite a history of climbing, and so that's something we're currently debating at the moment. Mm. Rappelling, anything involving the use of climbing ropes would be prohibited there currently.
No. Oh. So, and is it just a safety issue or not? It wouldn't be safety so much, or maybe
no,
it would
be
getting sued or something.
With the state natural areas, their concern was the impact on endangered resources. In the 90s, we were looking at this, and they decided when they put their regulations into effect that they were just going to declare most state natural areas out of bounds for climbing, except for a couple. They didn't really make it clear why they allowed it where they did. And it's a very fraught issue right at the moment.
Where are they? Which natural areas are allowed? If you know off the top of your head.
Sure. There are actually state natural areas within Devil's Lake State Park where climbing is welcome. And I'm trying to think, is the other one, is there a state natural area at Interstate that is open to climbing? There's another one, Northwest, where climbing is open. There are a number of these places that in Gibraltar Rock, people have been climbing there since the Hoofers, the UW club, started climbing there in the 60s. So we're not quite sure what the negative impact was, since nothing was documented. But it's kind of all where the discussion is now, is how are we going to decide, and what kind of documentation do we need to have some places open, other places closed? The current state of affairs is that most state natural areas are closed to climbing.
So this gives me an opening to ask you about the Wisconsin Climbers Association itself. I'm sure you're advocates in many ways, but talk about the organization itself, Doug.
So the organization itself really has kind of three goals in view. We're interested in building a stronger and more open climbing community, getting climbers connected with each other. We're interested in stewardship, so we do a lot of work trying to manage the impacts that climbing does have. If you get a lot of people walking up to the base of a rock, or a lot of people walking out to an overlook, you know, many feet eventually have an impression. So this is, it's not just climbing, hiking to an overlook does this. Fisher people, anglers, all trying to get to the same place in the stream have impacts as well. We're interested in managing our impacts. And so we've been working with the DNR quite well, I should say. We like working with the DNR to manage the impacts of climbing, and also just to help take care of our parks. I've also been on the board of the Friends of Devil's Lake. I mean, most of us are interested in more than just climbing.
Yeah,
and we're interested in helping out with our parks. Yeah. And then the third thing that we're involved in is discussions of access, where we think climbing can be done sustainably, where we think people shouldn't be climbing. I mean, we don't particularly think that every place that's got an exposed rock is suitable for climbing. So that's kind of that's an ongoing discussion.
And Lauren, you're the lead instructor with Devil's Lake Climbing Guides. How many folks are involved in this, and how much of this? I mean, is it all day, every day kind of thing, or what goes on?
Yeah, so our groups and trips have been growing steadily over the past several years. We've brought on quite a few new staff this year to keep up with the demand of folks getting out. Devil's Lake is, I believe, the most popular state park in Wisconsin, and it's certainly the most popular climbing area in Wisconsin as well. So if you show up to the popular trailheads for climbing on a Saturday morning, I think most of us find that they are packed by about 9 or 9:30 a.m., depending on the weather. So things continue to kind of get busier and busier with us, which is great. It allows us an opportunity to, bring new folks into climbing instruction and mentorship, which helps as the community of new climbers grows. And it allows us to introduce more people to Devil's Lake, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. And how many instructors do you have now, do you think?
We have over 20 instructors at this point. Many of them have full-time jobs that they work during the week, and they join us either on weekends or during the summers. But for some of us, this is our full-time job. This is where we invest all of our energy.
So if I'm, let's say you've talked me into learning how to climb, is it a best to show up, or I'm thinking maybe you have to make an appointment?
Yeah. All of our trips require reservations. We offer private trips that you can book with us online. And then we also offer open enrollment trips and courses that you can sign up for. So if you don't have a big group, but you don't want to pay for private one-on-one instruction, we have open climbing trips that run every Saturday, weather permitting, from May through October, and then lots of technical courses, so people can learn actually to do this on their own, to set up their own ropes, safely.
So someone else is wondering here, what is climbing competition like?
Climbing competitions have really come into popularity over the last couple of decades, and are growing now with the introduction of climbing into the Olympics.
Yeah.
So, in terms of like the local level, Most climbing gyms have youth competitive teams where, you know, the kids will compete in the different disciplines, in sport climbing and bouldering, and even occasionally speed climbing, just like in the Olympics. The kids are often climbing more difficult routes than adults and seasoned climbers. They're young. Those young bodies can do a lot.
Yeah, young and light, not too heavy. Speaking of that, what kind of is there some training that would be useful to have? Before, yeah. I mean, you're there, you know, go to you, and you or one of your folks are going to help out for sure. But what kind of physical, experience should we have to kind of warm up or get in shape or whatever for it?
Yeah, well, we say if you can hike the trails at Devil's Lake that, you can get out and tie into a rope and try to climb the routes. If you've been to Devil's Lake, you know that the trails themselves are not a gimme.
No, they aren't.
Some steep stairs, right? Beyond that, some folks like to prepare by going to a climbing gym first. Climbing really is for everybody. You don't have to have, big giant muscles or be an endurance athlete. If you can hike up those trails, it's worth giving it a go. I find that, the biggest factor in whether someone can get to the top of a route is how determined they are.
So what kind of safety equipment is used
Yeah, so like Doug was saying early on, it depends on what kind of climbing you're doing, right? At Devil's Lake, bouldering is popular. So that's like Doug was saying, when you climb shorter distances. So typically, 20 feet or less, but occasionally, that flexes a bit. And the protection for that is actually these thick mats called crash pads. And oftentimes we'll use spotters to protect the climber to make sure that they land on that mat. So if you're at Devil's Lake and you see someone carrying a giant rectangle on their back, that's what that is.
You don't carry that on your back while you're climbing.
No. Just for the landings. But for the roped climbing, we use climbing ropes, obviously. Harnesses that secure us to the ropes. Helmets are highly recommended. And then we have some equipment that helps secure the rope to the top of the cliff, and a belayer who holds the rope using a device to keep you from falling to the ground.
Paul in Appleton has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. PK here. Just had shout out. Thank you both for bringing up the history, because this is so important. I mean, we've been climbing there forever. And at least Doug and I feel like we've been climbing there forever. But I appreciate all that. And especially bringing up the fact that we try to do our part for the state park and try to abide by the rules and work with the DNR as close as we can. So I just wanted to thank you guys for both being on the radio.
Well, Paul,
I should say Paul ran a very successful guiding business himself for decades. He's also well known in the climbing community around here for a lot of the really visionary ice climbing that he was doing in the late 70s and early 80s. He opened an early climbing gym up in the Appleton area. He's been an important part of our community for quite a while.
So that ice climbing, I mean, do we pound spikes into the ice, how does that work?
So ice climbing, you typically have some spikes strapped to your boots. And then you've also got a couple of axes, pickaxes really, one in each hand. And that's what you use to move yourself up, a vertical sheet of, say, waterfall ice. This also can be used kind of at lower angle in mountaineering situations. And then as far as the safety equipment goes, the ropes and stuff like that, and instead of some of the equipment we use to set up temporary anchors and rocks, we have specialized hollow screws that we put into the ice to attach the ropes to in ice climbing.
Have you done some ice climbing, Lauren?
I'm not a big ice climber myself. In the summer season, I don't get to spend much time rock climbing because I spend most of my time teaching folks to rock climb. So in the winters, I escape to the desert, and that's my climbing season.
I was going to ask if there's any rock climbing that goes on at Devil's Lake in the wintertime.
Well, it just depends who you are.
Yes, there will certainly be people up there year-round. There aren't very many people who are up there when it's 20 degrees below zero, but there might be somebody.
Well, I wouldn't be one of them for sure, but it's certainly an interesting sport, and you guys are obviously very enthused about it. And by the way, Doug, what about membership in the Wisconsin Climbers Association?
Well, we do value our members. We have a website. It's wiclimbers.com. If you join as a member, you're helping to support our efforts to conserve our climbing areas and continue advocating for access.
And events, are there special events, maybe Lauren, at Devil's Lake?
Yeah, there are occasionally special events. First of all, I want to highlight some of the events that the Wisconsin Climbers Association and the Friends of Devil's Lake put on, which are often cleanup events. Doug runs a number of graffiti cleanup events at Devil's Lake, trash cleanup events, and the Wisconsin Climbers Association funds grants for various other projects. But we also put on some special events at Devil's Lake for climbers. This past May, we had our second annual Women's Climbing Weekend, which hosted climbing clinics, camping, and other festivities for over 50 women at Devil's Lake State Park. So that's been an exciting event that we've added. And then in the fall, each year, the American Alpine Club puts on an amazing climbing festival, again, with clinics and festivities and lots of camaraderie between climbers, called the Devil's Lake Kraken Classic. So that's not
Oh, I love it. I want to thank you both very much. It's been fun for me to talk with you today, and I know our listeners have enjoyed it too. So appreciate it very much, and maybe we'll get a chance to do this again. Thank you so much, Lauren and Doug. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Well, Doug Hemken is the access coordinator for the Wisconsin Climbers Association, and Lauren Polkstenis is the lead instructor with Devil's Lake Climbing Guides. Great to have them with us today. We're going to stay up in the air a little bit because another sport that is really interesting to me and something you probably have done at one point or another in your life, and that's fly a kite. Or maybe you've been told to go fly a kite. I don't know. But it has a long, long history, and we'll learn a bit about the history of it and talk about the current as well with our next guest coming up, Mike Sherman, president of the Wisconsin Kiters Club. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.